الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه بارك وسلم وقد قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من قرأ سورة الكهف أصم من فتنة الدجال أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, on different occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us insan an opportunity to gain closeness to him. Either it could be a great night like Laylatul Qadr, or an important month like the month of Ramadan, or a great day like the day of Arafat. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a day every week, and that is the day of Jum'ah. And these opportunities are given to insan so that he may increase his ibadat. He can increase his ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this little ibadat and extra ibadat that he does, Allah gives him great reward for it. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, that the best day that the sun has ever risen upon is the day of Jum'ah. But when something comes often, then people lose the appreciation of that thing. Whereas this day of Jum'ah is so great that the pious predecessors, after the Fajr Salah, they would make the preparations immediately for Jum'ah, and they would proceed as early as possible for the Jum'ah Salah. This is how much of importance they showed to this Jum'ah. Similarly, there are certain practices which we are encouraged to do on the day of Jum'ah. Amongst the practices is the increase of the recitation, increasing the recitation of the durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many, many virtues of reciting durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, Ibn Sunni rahimullah has mentioned that person on the day of Jum'ah, between the sunnah of his fajr and the fard of his fajr, after he reads the sunnah of his fajr, from that time till he starts to perform his first salah, if he reads three times, Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out and forgive his minor sins. It's mentioned regarding Ibn Sunni, continues, and he mentions that after the Jummah salah, if a person reads Subhanallah wa bihamdihi astaghfirullah, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi astaghfirullah, if he reads this 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive 100,000 of his minor sins and 24,000 of the minor sins of his parents. Likewise, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that that person after the Asr Salah of the day of Jummah, if he remains seated where he performed the Salah, and it reads, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Nabil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Nabil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. If he reads it 80 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive 80 years of his minor sins. And 80 years of the reward of ibadat will be written in his records. So there are short things that we can do, but there are great rewards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an opportunity to do and receive the rewards. My topic for today is amongst one of the practices that a person should do on the day of Jummah, and that is the recitation of Suratul Kahf. A great saint, Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahimahullah, he mentions that from a young age, my mother made sure that every Friday I would recite the surah. This also shows us that we should also be reciting the surah, and we should also encourage our children also. And he should say that my mother should check up on me to see whether I am reciting the surah or not. And later on he says that as I grew bigger and when I started my studies and when I looked into the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that that person who recites Suratul Kahf, then he'll be saved from the fitnas of Dajjal. So he says, I pondered upon this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam choose Suratul Kahf out of all the surahs in the whole Quran? Why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam choose this surah? Why never choose any other surah? And he says, when I look deeply into it, and when we find the ahadith which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about Dajjal, that Dajjal, when he comes, he will be an embodiment of falsehood and deception. He will be an embodiment of kufr and shirk. And he will be using certain things to turn away a person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards him. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those distractions, those tools that will be used to take a person away from his iman towards kufr and towards sin. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very briefly, we cannot go into details regarding all the incidents, but very briefly we would mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned four incidents here. We will just speak about the three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first incident, Allah ta'ala speaks about those youth and those youngsters, Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave. That it was a time after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that he was a very tyrant ruler. And he would force everyone to accept and worship him. But there were six youngsters who, because of their contact with pious people, that they remained on the shariat of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And when this king came to know about it, so he called them, he invited them, and he told them that we will give you all a few days to think about this, but if you do not accept what we tell you, then we are going to punish you. Not expecting that these youngsters will run away just to save the people's iman. So when they heard this from this king, they also supplicated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana atina, that O Allah, grant us rahmat from your side, wa hayyi' lana min amrina rashada, and O Allah, you guide us to make the right decision. So he shows us a very important point, that when a person is in difficulty, then a person should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. That's the first thing. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that these youngsters, they brought iman. They never do what everyone else was doing. They were following what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to do. Wazidnahum huda. That when they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah increased them in their guidance. But then Allah says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا. When they stood up to make a move towards the right direction, then we strengthened the iman even more. We gave them that courage, that light came into their heart, and we gave them that courage to go forward. This shows us another very important point, that many a times a person wants to change. He makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. But with that dua, a person must use the right means that are around him to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sit with the right people. And when a person takes that first step, Allah says, we strengthen the iman when they took the first step. Otherwise, if a person does not want to make any effort and he just wishes for everything, then that is called wishful thinking. So a person has to take the first step. When he takes the first step, then he will find the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they ran away. And on the way they met, there were six of them, on the way they met another person, it became seven. And then that person had an animal, and that animal also joined them. And they went into a cave. And they slept away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them sleep for 309 years. But see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them when they made that first step. Allah ta'ala says, وَإِذِي أَتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأَوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. That when they took refuge in that cave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that that cave was situated in such a way that when the sun was rising or the sun was setting, then the rays of the sun would not come into the cave. Because it's obvious, if you are sleeping and the rays of the sun comes onto your face, then you will wake up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the people sleeping also very, very comfortable without any disturbance. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ إِيقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that when a person looked at them, he will think that they are awake, but they are sleeping. Normally if a person is sleeping and you know he's sleeping, then you want to interfere with him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that no one will try to interfere with him also, because they will think that these people are awake. But all the time they were sleeping. Then if a person is sleeping for very, very long in one position, we know what can happen to a person's body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have taken care of that also. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. That we turn them towards the side, on the right or the left, so much so, that it does not damage their body in any way, that long sleep. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that we had that dog to sit in front of the mouth of the cave, so that if anyone wants to come, they will think that there is a dog that is even guarding this place, and we cannot enter this place. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we also placed an awe and a fear that if anyone wants to try to attack them or harm them, they had a special awe that was placed upon them that the person will not even think of trying to harm them also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Nusibtu bir ru'bi masirata shahrin. That Allah had given me such awe that from a very far distance, if a person even tried, had the wrong intention, that special, that person will be, he will fear me. And he will have that awe for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that honor for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he will not try to do anything to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places such an awe upon him that people start respecting him. And if even if a person wants to harm that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects that person. So in these five ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. But they had to take the fourth step. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this first incident of the people of Kaf. That the first threat to your iman will be the forces around you. Your society, the place you are staying with. There will be people that will force you to leave your iman. There will be things around you. Where it will be the material things around you that will be forcing you and taking you away from your iman. And for you to safeguard yourself, you need to move away from those things. Abandon those things. If it is a person, then you need to stay away from the person. If it is the things that are around you that are forcing you and making you do sin, then you have to stay away from those things. Same thing Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was living in a household that was only kufr and shirk. And when he spoke out with respect to his father, so his father told him, أَرَغِبٌ أَنْتَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَأَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. That if you do not listen to what I'm telling you, if you do not do as I tell you, then I will punish you. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam respectfully told his parents. He told his father that now I'll have to leave you. I am forced to leave you. Why? Because now I cannot fulfill my duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I'm staying here. So that is the first threat. That the things around us will be forcing us to go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a true test. And that is what Dajjal will be using. He'll be using force. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he'll be going from town to town, forcing people that they must follow him. The second incident that is mentioned is an incident of two friends. One was a kafir, one was a believer. And the kafir, he had everything of this dunya. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنَ عَنَابٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that we have given him everything, all types of fruit, all types of produce he had, and were lush and green, farms also, abundant of water, everything we had given him. But when a person, when love of dunya comes into his heart, then slowly, slowly he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the second threat to a person's iman is hubbu dunya and the things around you. That a person who start gauging success with the things of this dunya. When we see someone that is very successful as far as the dunya is concerned, then we think that this person is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that dunya is not a sign of success in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the 25th para, وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ. Had it not been that people will change their people's religion, we would have given all the kuffar houses of gold and silver. But Allah Ta'ala says, I know the mentality of insan. I know he will look up at these people and he will say that these people are successful and he will wish to be like them. So Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala for our own good, Allah Ta'ala did not do that. Otherwise, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this dunya is insignificant. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us in the second incident in Suratul Kahf, that that person was given everything of the dunya. He says, وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. He told his other friend, who was a believer, but he didn't have everything of the dunya. He says, no, when I go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will give me, just as He has given me everything in the dunya, He'll give me everything in the akhirat also. Even though he's going against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person, when he gets wealth also, then pride also comes in it, in him. And now he thinks that he can buy himself out from any situation. Allah says, when you're going to come in front of us, you can't buy yourself out. If you had done wrong, you'll be punished for it. But in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the same friend was boasting, Allah took everything away from him. And his friend reminded him that these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, Allah ta'ala can take it away also. Al-malu ghadin wa ra'ihin. Al-malu ghadin wa ra'ihun. That wealth is something that comes and goes. So wealth is not a sign of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is a second threat to a person's iman. That how he's going to behave when he has the dunya. Now this doesn't mean that a person must abandon everything and he can't have love for the dunya. Because love for the dunya, Allah has created in each and every person. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ Allah says each and every person has the love for dunya. So what is the criteria and how much love a person should have? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, that قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشُونَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ That if your families and your businesses and the material goods that you have are more beloved to you than Allah, they are more beloved to you than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning they are more beloved to you than the law of Allah, they are more beloved to you than the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are more beloved to you than striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا Then you are asking for trouble. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you more than anything in the world except myself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your iman is still incomplete. Your love is incomplete. You have to love me more than your own self also. Then Umar radiallahu anhu said that I love you, Ya Rasulullah, more than my own self also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now your iman is complete. Now your love is complete. That when the test comes, when a person is with his family, and now they are asking him to break the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be the wife telling the husband at the time of a wedding of the child, whether it be the parents telling the child to do something against the commands of Allah, whatever the situation, at that time, what are you going to give preference to? You give preference to what they are saying or what the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, there has to be respect. If a person is in his business and the time of salah came and the whole morning he is very, very quiet and now a customer comes just at the time of salah, what is he going to do at that time? No, I can read my salah a little later also. Or he's going to say, no, the call of the azan was made, I will go for my salah. Allah praises such people, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بِيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ The sahaba were such men, that their businesses are set, that did not distract them from the masjid and from salah and from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second distraction in the surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, your iman will be tested with the things of the dunya. The third incident that is mentioned is with regards to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khazir alayhi salam. Where Allah is teaching us in this incident that in your life there will be things that will take place which are against your desires. You wanted something. Allah wants something else. You think something is good for you. Allah says it's not good for me. Now when things don't go according to your plan or according to our plan, then what happens? A person is tested now. Now he feels, why isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilling all my needs? Why did it have to happen to me? Whether it is a person's business, he started a business. He did everything according to Sharia, everything accordingly. Yeah, if he did something wrong, then he has to blame himself. He did everything according to Sharia, but never worked out. Or he went for some proposal in some marriage. He did everything the correct way. Never worked out. These are all situations in the dunya Allah is telling us in the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khazr alayhi salam, that they, when they both were traveling, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has seen certain things, like the killing of the child, Khazr alayhi salam killing the child, destroying the wealth of those poor people, there was boat, etc., etc. He was seeing all this, and he was objecting. Why? Because outwardly these things were seeming bad. But then when Khazr alayhi salam explained to him why he was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do those things, that there was a reason behind it. That insan, all his faculties, whether it be his sight, whether it be his mind, whether it be his hearing, all those things are limited. We can only hear till a certain point. We can only see till a certain point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows more than that. We may see, we may think certain things may be good for us. Allah says, Asa an takrahu shay'an wa khayrun lakum. Wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa sharrun lakum. You are thinking certain things are good for you, but it's bad for you. Certain things are bad for you, but it's good for you. So this is a third incident in Surah Al-Kahf. In all these three incidents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us about those things that will distract us as far as our iman is concerned. The first incident was showing us about our environment and the things around us, that those things that distract us, we must leave it away. Just like how those Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave, they moved away from those things that distracted them. The second incident was about hubbu dunya, about the love of dunya. The love of dunya and the things of the dunya mustn't be so much that they distract you away from your imani duties and your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third incident of the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khazr alayhi salatu wasalam is that to show us that you will go through situations in your life will be against your nature, against what you like. But think of the bigger picture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better what is good for me instead of I do not know what is good for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is better for me. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the true message of Surah Al-Kahf, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a true understanding of this message. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman, keep us steadfast upon iman, take us from this world with kamil iman, and let us wake up on the day of qiyamah with kamil iman. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.